Hi, everybody, and welcome to an episode of the Classic Quest where Lindell has paid us in advance so that you know that this is for money, so that you don't beat me up in the comments, as we talk about Sade's album, Diamond Life. I don't even know if I said that right. I did put the effort into knowing it's not Sade. I think it's Sade or something. My bad, for reals. It's like, you know when you go out till real late several days in a row, and then the next day you're dead, and then the day after you're only half dead? That's where the fuck I'm at right now, everybody out there on the internet. So I'm just letting you know. My name is Holden Stefan Roy. Welcome to the Sade Hungover Album Review.
What up, guys? It's Chris Grohm.
That's it. Yeah. So we are here today and doing the show that we do live on Twitch Sunday afternoons with this stupid time change. It's a discombobulated day. And we're going to go through all the songs where you can listen to them live on the Twitch with us. And then when you see this on YouTube after and go, where are the songs? You guys are crap. Well, it's because of YouTube copyright laws, broskies. I got a strike one time and it scared me. It is what it is. On that note, we like to start off our show describing to y'all our familiarity with the artists that we speak about ahead of time so that you, probable super fan of Sade or somebody that cares enough to watch a lengthy video looking at this project, I assume you have nostalgic lens coming here. You love this a lot. It maybe has been the soundtrack to a lot of sex in your life or has helped you get sex in your life, and props to you. So I feel like it's fair that we share our parts. So Chris, how much do you know about Sade ahead of time?
Absolutely nothing. It was, hey, Lindell wants us to review this album. And then I saw that it was from like 1980 something. And I went, oh, this is going to
like,
be
this
fun.
Could have been the soundtrack to my conception. Not playing. Like my parents been fucking the smooth operator. And then I came from that. Like, let's just be real with where we at with this.
But no, I don't have like any prior knowledge to before reviewing it. Didn't even know who the artist was. And then that's it. It was a blind entry. This is a first time fully getting to know the artist and the album.
It's another time. I mean, I have heard a couple of the songs like once we went through the project, so I guess I am somewhat aware of her, but I can say I've never gone out of my way to listen to one of her songs in my life. I'm not saying that to be dismissive. I actually really am impressed with the quality of the music for those of you coming through. It's not like that. It's just, y'all need to know this is so far out of my like comfort zone and what I would ever listen to vibes. Like I'm on some like drill punk BPMs and energies, and I'm going to say this is not that energy at all. However, let's say I met a fine little shorty one day and I'm trying to impress her. I'd bring her to this way faster than a lot of other things because there's some love-making energy on this project. On that note, I don't have much more else to really comment coming into this project. What do you feel about the cover and the title?
I think it's pretty just simple, in my opinion. I thought, like, in terms of Diamond Life, it was going to be, like, this lavish, rich life and kind of, like, celebrity and money-driven just because Diamond Life. But besides that, it's pretty simple. It's just Sade and she's there. And
she just fucking screams 1980s at me.
Yeah, like, it's just really simple and plain.
With that, like, color-graded picture where she looks like it's a glam shot.
Yeah,
I don't know what she's holding, but the world is hers, bros. I mean, maybe they're gonna like Photoshop a fat diamond there, and they decided against it.
Or she's like reaching out. Now that I've
is this
gone
the actual
album
like, cover though? Reaching. Like, are we just like off? Let's make sure this
seems
right
to
on.
Be the one that's on Spotify at least.
Life album cover. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, it is. It's just this picture. Damn, eh? We in the much better era of album covers, in my opinion. This feels like they're trying to put it on teenage boys' walls. I know it's gonna sound weird because like those eyes be giving you like an energy, you know what I mean? Like they definitely sold that cover like on her face so that like boys were like, I want to hit that. I got to own that. I'm pretty sure that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to own that kind of feel. Because she does have this like, take me type of eyes. Mm. Like she looks like helpless and like giving herself to whatever we're about to get. So
that's what it is.
It's just what it be.
Yeah, again, not my forte, this whole genre. And I'm, like, 80s aversive. It's been brought to my attention. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's what my parents fucked with. But, like, the 80s is just my weakest era of all of the eras that I ever listened to. 70s, not my favorite either. So, bear with me. I'm coming into this with all the open-mindedness your boy know how to muster with years and years of album review experience. I'm not a smooth operator, though. Joining me tonight, we have Chris Chrome, a smooth operator in Montreal, here to share his opinions on a song.
Oh, man. Okay. what I liked about this song is the way she's starting off the project. Kind of like how it doesn't seem like she's the one involved in this situation. She's looking at it from an outside point of view and viewing whatever is happening around. Sade is explaining how, you know, there's this guy and he's pretty much just a little playboy and he's running around and just making people happy and being all nice and sweet and shit. And I feel like this is really just the setup of the project. This is kind of like the theme that we're going to be getting. I feel like she did a really great job giving us like a good starting point, essentially. I like the song, to be fair. Like, I think it's really smooth. The way she does the chorus and like she kind of sings like smooth operator, I think is really dope. I like just the storytelling through it. It's pretty smooth. It's not actually that hard to get into. I felt like the intro of the song was like that little boppy jazzy feel to it. And, like, that was kind of also really nice, easy getting into. So I was like, okay. This wasn't like something heavy to digest. But for me, it was really just kind of self-explanatory. Like, you see, dude, he's like loved by all these different women. He's clearly like a slick talker. He's clearly somebody who knows how to like make you feel good and be happy and all this shit. And it really is just kind of that, like just setting up like this is the character we're going to be following through.
Yeah, that's a fact. Story. It is a setup for a character.
So, I thought it was cool. I mean, I can relate, and it kind of has this, like, essence
of... Chris be hitting me with the, Sade's judging me. Sade's judging me.
I got yelled at for 45 minutes, okay?
Like, the project is just, like, making me feel bad about myself. Oh, this is what women be feeling.
Oh, so this is what I do. Oh, great. I'm going to hate the whole fucking review.
Can I just...
Anyway, it's cool, though. Like, it's still a good thing. I actually put it at 4.5 on 5. I thought it was actually pretty solid. Like, to start off the project and get it going, like, yeah, it's a 4.5 on 5.
Like, listen, the first time I listened to this whole project, I was like, uh-oh. I don't know if I fucks with this at all. But it's often like that when you listen to stuff outside your comfort zone. But then as I listen to it more, I realized that, like, this band behind her is so tight. Like, they are jamming at, like, this level where you can almost feel the hours and hours and hours of just working this groove and this vibe and this synergy between the instruments to, like, this perfection where they can really just run these 5-6 minute experiences and layer it in such a way where it's intoxicating. Like, I'm a sucker for the bass lines on these kinds of joints. So I really like what the bassist does here to kind of just give you something to move with. You can almost just picture, you know, wanting to grab a girl and slow dance or, you know, do some high school shit or this is less bump and grind and more like, I guess, classy and romantic dancing or something.
This is like
we elevating
the... I see you on the other side of the room.
Like, I feel like listening to this makes me appreciate why some people be wanting some classic dance moments and shit. Like, oh, right. Yeah, this whole vibe is more like tuxedo and fancy dress than it is like mini skirt and booty on penis. you know what I mean?
I just want to hold different. Your waist and just sway. And then, like, sway.
Don't get me wrong. When that's said and done, all the bumping and grinding will go on. But this is just, like, big seduction music. Like, we're going to take our time with this, shawty. We're going to ride the wave, which is, I guess, why it's some smooth operator music. Because you can almost feel like the beat is literally designed to get people fucking. Everything about this song almost feels like you're going to fuck after you put this shit on. And I was like, damn, there's like not a, and it's not like on some like sleazy shit. It's more like, yo, I want some of that smooth operator life. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, like, it also, the way that Sade is singing it, it also feels like she's also interested. Like, maybe the female character she's playing, it's like, she knows he's a smooth operator. She knows that he's kind of like going to play these things. But she's also like, I ain't going to say no if you chat me up.
Like, it almost feels like she's both the narrator and the protagonist in this story all at once. Mm. Like, she's been there, done that, but she's also found another one. And like, yo, he's loved in 7 languages. That is like,
just fire.
Use a hoe. But respect, broski, like 7 languages. Like, don't get me wrong. Bro, she be like shaming you and complimenting you all at the same time right there. Like,
that's why it studied the continent just so he can go to anywhere and pick up a girl.
Or it's more like you look at it like she's, but like the whole thing is layered like that. It's like, this is who he is. Diamond Life Lover Boy, which is cool because it takes like the context and is showing you that this album is probably going to be attached to this character that we're being introduced to on track 1. And this is how he moves. He's a smooth operator.
I wonder if because she says coast to coast, LA to Chicago, Western male, is it the fact that like you're from the Western part that maybe the life is different?
I don't know.
That, like, implies that, like, sorry. It was just something I was thinking
of. Maybe in this case, he's, like, just one of those dudes that happened to come from the West but is traveling. I don't know.
I do love how she did say, like, access to the North and South to Key Largo, love for sale. That, I was just like, okay, that fucking hurts. Like, how we do this, like, I'll love you as long as you continue to give me this, like, transactional shit.
Her, like, it's not transactional to me. Well, it kind of is, but I feel like it's more passion, right? Like, no place for beginners or sensitive hearts. The sentiment is left to chance. No place to be any but somewhere to start. So it's like you meet that dude or, like, I don't know. Sometimes you meet people and you're desirable and you realize, okay, this night's lit, but I'm never going to see you again. And so, like, you can smash, you can have all these moments, and in those moments, you're running game. Like, imagine all the thingies. But everybody knows it's never going to be nothing. Yo, next time I'm around, I'll see you, 8 months later? In the meantime, yo, what's
yo,
up, shawty?
You never know, bro. You're like,
and you
I'll
run
see
it
you
again.
Next time.
But the question is then, like, so, like, you get those moments of super amazing, like, we'll call them first date lustful passions, but then, like, you know, it's not really where you're ending, but it's definitely somewhere to start. And then, like, I don't know, like, it's like dude is addicted to the chase, right? He's not satisfied with what he has. And then I think that this also creates a desirability because, look, like, if man's is succeeding, what is it? What's there? Why are you there, you know?
Why is it that he still does what he do if 7 people languages. Still follow what he do?
That's a lot of languages.
Like, there is this aspect of, like, being...
Oh, Western male in, like, as in, fuck, I see what Lindell's saying. Western male as in, like, the Western world.
That's like, what I was trying to say. Like, the Western world compared to, like, the Eastern world. I may have not even articulated it properly, but that's what I was trying to say. Like, are you saying, like... Because we live in the Western world and how our life is with, like, just if we look at it today compared to what, like, people in the other side of the world look at love and relationships and how they treat, like, marriages and shit. Like, is that a thing? That's what I was trying to say. Anyway.
Yo, shout out Natasha Marie is watching on Facebook.
What up, Natasha? But yo, this is definitely a vibe. This is really a vibe. I like how she went in verse two was also like face to face. Each classic case we shadow box and double cross. Yet need the chase.
Yo, because like, bro, it's fun.
Like, it's that idea.
Is it
of,
toxic?
Like, yo,
yeah,
like, we're dancing. It's we're fun. Dancing. We're going out. It's it.
Imagination things. Everything's possible.
Bro, my
possible.
High school toxic brain is like, yes,
no, but
this
like,
is fun.
Look,
and then my adult brain's like, no.
I'm out at a show, right? Like, that's not holding the human being that has common sense.
No.
It's holding who's jacked up on endorphins, who's like in character mode. I don't even know how much I got praised that night. So, you know, the ego stroking sometimes can be a lot. And then, like, the next thing you know, you're, like, on one in your head. Like, you're not even meeting a human at that point. It's all, like, fucking emotion and endorphins and hormones and shit.
Much.
Like, it's real talk.
My God.
So, oh, like, man. I could see how it becomes vibes and shit. And in those moments, I don't know if I was super sane. Yo, Natasha Marie was fucking super sane. Like, she got elegance. Nah, like, own that shit. Like, queen on stage shit.
Facts.
But yeah, this song's a bop. I like the fact that like after she does the context setting, it's like a open musical ensemble. Like she said what she had to say, and then she gets distracted, and now they just you can picture like she's in like this conversation at a table, and then he's just said, "Let's go dance," and of course she went. She want that vibe. It's drugs. We all in this for the drugs of this all, right? Like. I know we're growing up common sense, but we're in music land now, so we, you know, playing to the more extreme side of shit. And like, yeah, then you just get the smooth operator repeated like that, right? Like, there's nothing more to be said. She knows what it is. She's in. And it's almost like she's both reminding herself and excited by it at the same time. And I feel like that's kind of the cascading effect of like the minutes of just this musical play out. See, y'all, I told you I wasn't going to be a hater. It's just outside my comfort zone. I really love this song in terms of what it is. I mean, never put it on again unless I'm trying to impress a girl, but it's a fucking 5-on-5. I totally see how Smooth Operator became more popular as part of a cultural lexicon, and if Google Trends existed back then, we'd see a spike on that term, and this shit would have been a hashtag, and it would have gone trending. Hell, I bet a bunch of women of a certain age certainly be using that word and term still. No offense. I'm 35. We just are all getting certain ages in life. Anyway.
Hey, Natasha came to Twitch.
Yo, shout out, Natasha. Yo, we're going to bump out the rest of it now. We only on the first song. But yeah, the next one is Your Love is King. And shout out, Natasha. When I said my parents probably procreated me to music that sounded like this, you hear some shit like this and you're like, yo, it's possible. Like, you don't actually know what exact song was playing, but that was the vibe of my birthing process, you know? Maybe Chris's is a little different. He's a little younger. He has them like the 90s version, but this is where we were at. So it's kind of interesting to see like what my parents were going to fuck to. what do you think about Your Love is King, Chris?
Battling a cat. Oh my God. I like this. I think what stood out to me is how it kind of connects from the last track, in my opinion, right? So we find out the guy character is a smooth operator, all this stuff. And now we're addressing the fact that like his love is like the most utmost thing. It's king, it's the best, it's royalty. It's like gives you all these feels, right? But there's this essence of like, to me, there's this essence of like, because we know he's like not committing, he's not gonna like stick around for that long, he's just coming in doing like that little phase and leaving. I feel like there's this essence of like obsession with that like limited amount of love that you can get with from him, and like that's why his love is king. Like that's kind of what I felt from this. I like how where in verse one where she's like, I'm coming, you make me dance, you're making me dance inside, like the way she holds the I'm coming as if like she's actually releasing and like actually fucking and like coming in bed and
what
all
Chris
that shit.
Is trying to say is like she fucking coming. See the double? This is wet ass pussy from fucking 1980 something.
We rappers. So like that was really
I mean, I want to be clear. The exact same sentiment is more or less being described here without the commercial impact. But yeah, there's some female like, yo, make me come, bitch. Respect.
I mean, it's very like intimate and like, you know, touching the very part of me. It's making my soul sing. I'm crying out for more. Your love is king. Verse two, this is no blind faith. This is no sad and sorry dream. This is no blind faith. Your love is real. Like it's really like passionate and like there's like that flame and all that. Like it's good. I'm just like,
bro, look at that first chorus. Yo, it's like, yo, kisses ring round and round my head, touching the very part of me. It's making my soul sing. It's like giving you this guide to her. Like, if you can get up inside of this part of her soul, it's like drugs. It's like you got that shit. Because yeah. I feel like this song is almost like, why do you fuck the smooth operator? It's because I'm coming like that. You're making me dance inside. You be putting that work in, and not just the work, but the full attention and like the worship. And especially if it's some random shit, like you gotta like make her feel special, right? That's almost the number one requirement of all. If you want some tips for this shit, dudes, if you with a girl and she feels like you feel like she's like other girls, you probably lost, my G. You have to make this chick feel special. So if you're really on that game, you're going to put that little bit of effort in to pay attention to the subtle nuances of things in the way that, you know, I feel like she's implying her lover is doing here. This is really happening. It's not like she's getting smashed and fantasizing about that one time 8 years ago, one time later. Nah, this is really up in her face. This guy is really giving her to everything. The way she's touching, like, your love is king. Like, there's a regal element to it, like it's bigger than just the physicality, and he's bringing it. And the way the music just kind of gets into that swaying, like you can just picture like that face-to-face dancing, almost like tango-y shit, but like slow closeness. And like, bro, if you're not fucking after dancing to this song, you misplayed. You talked. That's what happened. You opened your mouth. You had it and you lost it. That's what happened. Because if you got that far, you're in. You just got to shut up now. Let your hands do talking.
There is a part of...
Said from a man who talks too much.
There is a part of, like, misplay where if you're not vulnerable enough, you're not going to unlock that side. Like, a lot of being the smooth operator does come from also playing into, like, the vulnerability of who you are. Not like her, because that's wrong. You don't play into her vulnerabilities. But, like, you got to be open with yours, and you got to be honest with yours. And then, like, that's just a whole neck level instead of being like, I can do this. I can make you come. It's like, yeah, cool. You can make me come, but can you make my brain come? And that's like a whole different level of shit, which is where I kind of get from.
We should make
like
a song called Brain Come. Anyway, go on.
That's kind of where like I get this song is like, it's more than just the sensual nature and the sexual touch of everything. It's like, there's this whole next level unlocked where like, they're kind of like dancing with each other's minds as much as they're also like fucking. So it's cool. It landed at a 4.2 for me.
It just feels
kind of like hit the slower side.
Like this feels like a world of non-monogamy that is more, because it doesn't feel monogamous. It doesn't feel like nuclear family, platonic, or not platonic. It doesn't feel like none of that shit. But it does feel like medieval affairs where there's like a certain degree of class and charm. And like you have a couple of shoddies that you put a lot of effort into, not a new shoddy every weekend.
It just kind of feels like the scene. Like when you're in that like part of your life where you're out partying and clubbing and you're just enjoying life.
No,
and
brother,
you're like,
that's not the whole world. That's just choices some people make.
I know. I'm just saying that's what it seems like to me. Like, it's just there's this level of like, we're out here just living our best lives and we know what situations we're about to get into. And this is it.
I don't think everybody knows all the situations. I think that's part of why this album is existing in the first place. Is she's like, listen, you're going to meet some smooth operators in your life. Well, let me tell you about that shit. That's what I feel from this album, Mr. Christopher. Anyway, I think this song's like a 4.5. Like, it's not as good as Smooth Operator, but it's still really good. It's a gain. I want to listen to it. But I can't deny the fact that the band is fucking phenomenal. That, like, they create these grooves and pockets, like the Oasis gets praised a lot because they know how to do these long groovy songs, and it's in like that world where it's not trying to overcomplicate it. It's trying to, after 5-6 minutes, lock you into this like almost trance. Like I could imagine these songs could be performed for like 12 to 15 minutes live every time. And it would be like this crazy experience, and you would not get bored. Or like we saw Brand Van 3000 last summer, and they like did whatever that Drinking in LA track, and they just went LA, LA. That shit took like 5 minutes of that because we wanted to. It's not their fault. It was our fault. We just kept doing it. So they kept doing it. So it's like it creates that kind of feel. And I really believe that this album performed live would be fucking stellar too. So that also needs to be said. Anyway. We can move on to Hang On To Your Love. All right, so in the story of this project, we meet the smooth operator. The smooth operator fucks the shit out of Sade, gets her hooked on a D. Honestly, if you can figure out a way to make your partner have a very good orgasm, it is your best get out of jail free card. And then sometimes you get, you know, you meet the smooth operator and y'all start vibing on a higher frequency. And then you get to the moment where the smooth operator is still operating. And in a sense, in those moments, you get to this part where she's questioning why you don't hang on to your love when you got that shit. Yo, broski, she did an interview on the channel. And don't watch that interview. I'll link it in a minute. Anyway, Chris, what do you think about this song?
I mean, this I'm not too thrilled with the beat, personally. It was what it was like the first song, boom, and I was just kind of like, okay, it didn't really hit me the way I guess it was supposed to. But it was like just very straightforward. It's kind of really just giving the advice of like, if you want something to work, you got to stick to it and like really put the effort in and really just like not let go. You get this sense of like, you know, loss, confusion, little bit of like disparity for like answers, I guess, not really like desperate for like the person to stay around or some shit, more like why is this happening. I like how like in the first verse though she's like, take time if you're down on your luck, it's so easy to walk out on love, take your time if the going gets tough, it's so precious. Like the essence of just like taking that time and knowing that like you can walk away, but like, don't make no like final decisions. Don't be like so hasty with what you're doing. Like, just, you know, take it one step at a time, which is, it's like very good relationship advice. I think it also follows like the narrative of the story. It does connect everything on how like the characters we have and just like this game of love that's kind of just being played back and forth. So I do like that. I like the bridge. The bridge kind of gave me this aspect of like, I've always liked when bridges are just the instrumental and just the sing-songy part, because for me it's like, after you've given me a lot of the lyrics, it gives me a moment to kind of process what you're saying and like within the song, and my brain I like kind of go through these like little scenarios and visions of like what the song kind of like music video plays out in my head type. So I think that's always really cool. And you know, she just like really ties it all back in together, just like, again, reinforcing this, like, you gotta hang on. You can't, like, you just can't walk away. Like, if you're just gonna keep walking away, nothing's ever going to work. It doesn't matter if it's, like, with me or with anyone else. It's really just, at one point, you gotta make a decision and, like, yo, this is it. This is what I'm doing, and this is how far I'm taking it to the end type shit. So, it's dope. I mean, it was a 4-on-5. Like, it's smooth. It's got that like energy. It's got like a great, like, it fits everything. Just for me, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I feel like this lady has met a few smooth operators in her name who, when push come to shove, all claim they want something but aren't willing to do the work to get that thing. Like, sure, smashing a bunch of people in high frequency has a vibe, but it certainly is not the same thing as lengthy life-building love stuff Like, they're just different things, right? And I think what's happening is, like, you got the higher frequency people linking up, but sometimes when you are a higher frequency person, tons of people want to fuck you. And so you go around your life and people want to fuck you, and maybe you engage. And then while you're doing that, you're taking time and energy away from building up that, like, foundational shit. So in a sense, that person that I guess you should be with, if you're thinking about it from, like, a rom-com point of view, is sitting there watching you saying some shit like, in heaven's name, why are you walking away? Hang on to your love. Like, she's being logical. She sees what she wants. And then everything's perfect except for maybe the lack of focus. And, like, some shit gets complicated. Run away. Find the next thing. It's just always on to the next. Always moving forward. I think, like, ultimately this song's about Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, for real. Like, he's the ultimate of this, to the point where, like, he's a meme now and shit. But, like, that kind of situation, like, everything about Leonardo DiCaprio is probably a case study waiting to happen.
It clearly does scream, like, the smooth operator character in this album is, like, he's got his own issues. And he's got, like, his own, like, insecurities and shit that he's not ready to deal with and face to be able to, like, commit to, like, that one person.
But it's also, like, you can see that with the Be Brave, when the journey is rough, it's not easy when you're in love. And it's not, like, yo, people are annoying as shit. Like, whoever the fuck you're in love with is going to annoy the fuck out of you. I don't care what anyone says. They're going to do dumb shit. They're going to have bad habits. You're going to do dumb shit. You're going to have bad habits and shit. Like, I'm extra annoying. So, like, sometimes you're extra annoying, too. And you have to deep down in your soul kind of be aware that you're a little bit extra.
It's like there's this weird, like, so, like, you meet first time, everything clicks. You start dating, everything's clicking. And y'all are, like, kind of hiding this shit. Like, you're kind of, like, hiding a lot of the annoying things.
It's what we call the excessive blowjob part of the relationship.
Right? And then it's, like, boom. Like, just suddenly, it's, like, yo.
Now the blowjob is solely precursor to, you know, the next act.
It went from, like, twice a day for, like, every day of the week, to, like, now it's, like, once a day, to, like, every 3 days, to now it's, like, once
now,
like,
a what week. Us men never say in this part is we used to buy dinner all the time, come up with gifts, come up with great things, probably did a whole bunch of massaging, and we just stopped all that shit. That's what we're not saying. We stopped trying. They stopped trying. The cycle of not trying continues. I'm just being candid with y'all.
It is so...
I know a single fucking team of people that lasted fucking 7-8 years and shit that ain't gone through cycles of shit as they learn how to fucking figure shit out. You know,
but, like, that's still part of it. Like, I think there's this ideology or this, like, concept of, like, oh, because I love you, it is what it is. Like, that just is what it is. It's like, it's the end all be all. And it's like, Olivia, nah, bro, in, like, 3 months, Olivia, I'm about to change.
Men do this sometimes. Men, let's clarify. Men do that shit. I can't speak for boys.
Bro, like, everyone does the same shit. Men, women, girls, boys, like, everyone does the same
Men and boys do not approach this shit the same way in the least. We're talking smooth operator game. We ain't talking some poser shit.
Okay, if we're making that distinction, I'm saying, like, bro, it's not just one-sided. Like, everyone deals with relationships. Everyone goes with the ups and downs. Everyone goes with their own, like, situations, traumas, and shit like that.
Liddell, I don't recognize this song. Where is this song from that I would know this song? Is this, like, got, like, this giant sync placement I'm supposed to know? Like, where is this from?
Next thing you know, it's, like, the headlining song of some big movie that we've never seen.
Oh, okay. Fair. I think the hook of this song is really good. That bass line is infectious. That bass player is ridiculous. It's crazy how he can just do, like, an arpeggio for, like, the whole song and throw in hooks, like, every 8 bars, and those hooks are just like, okay, now I'm gonna show you I'm an excellent bassist, but this is what fits the song. Yo, that bassist is flexing heavy on him. I did not really listen to the rest of the music because that bassist is flexing heavy on him. I had trouble listening to Sade because I really like that bass line. Like, I don't, it's really what happened. I do think that lyrically it's really powerful. I think that this is like one of them songs where, for real, like, I could picture a lot of people who just got cheated on. This is the joint. This is the I just got cheated on joint. You know, like, why are you not trying? Why are you going over there instead of working on your problems at home? Because, I mean, that's usually what it be. So, yeah.
Bring out it's the list.
Powerful. Yeah, because you're a pussy is why you're not working on your problems at home. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. You're a coward is why you're not working on your problems at home. That's the list. The whole list. You're a coward. Moving. We are. Like, it's cowardice when we go do some whack shit. We're just humans, so we're allowed to be cowards sometimes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, God.
Yo, lately I'm trying to get my shit together on some real shit, okay? I'm really trying to get my shit. Maybe I got my own problems. I'm just saying, lately I'm just trying to get focused and spit shit for what it be. I think Sade make excellent points in this song, to be honest with you. And as Lindell said, like, yo, it could be about passion and shit. Like, yo, how many rappers do I know who are like 4 years in and I'm like, oh, broski. Just wait till you've lost another $50,000 and then talk to me. Like, just wait. Wait till you see the disappointment then. Anyway, so, like, you see people and, like, I don't really think long-term is part of our culture. You can see it in the working cycle. We're not encouraged to stay at companies. There's no reward mechanisms for, like, I'm not even choosing violence, though. I'm spitting facts. Like, I don't feel like anything I said is wrong, and I'm not even being hypocritical. I'm super self-aware of my flaws for people who know where my life's at.
I think so she meant, like, it more as just like you're spitting the truth instead of like beating around the bush. And that's like
something. Yo, I think that the Sade fan base wants to know that the music moved me passionately. Do I think it's the most amazing thing? It's not my preferences, but arguably this is really well-written poetry to exemplify certain points and contextualize the other side. And I really like that. We're three tracks in and we're still talking this much. I mean, they are long songs, but I think the story element of this album is super relevant. And I can't imagine that, like, a lot of people are taking this angle of, like, self-value in this. Like, what I offer you is better than the mother bitches because I know how to build a team. But, like, deadass, if I talk about all of my exes, they said that same shit to me. I always did some dumb shit. And sometimes, like... sometimes I think back and I wonder, like, yo, I was really wrong. What if? And it's not like you really want to go there, but I've been really wrong to the point where sometimes what I believe in now is what that person was trying to put me onto when I was just a dick about it. So it's like, I didn't take the time to invest in that love. I chose other things. And you just, you know, you hear her spit this shit and you're like, it is fun being a smooth operator, but there are consequences to it. Anyway, this song's like a 4.25. I do feel it's less engaging to me than the other ones, but I really think it's good. And, like, this is just preferences. Like, this is really well-composed music, really well-written music. Like, yeah, it gets 6 minutes, and I'm not bitching about it being long. That's how you know it's good. Let's move on to Frankie's First Affair. All right. Let me just say, we find out some flavor about our smooth operator on this joint. He is trash. He can't handle it. He don't know how to do the game. He can't handle it when it don't go good. When all of a sudden people start calling him on his bullshit. When all of a sudden, because you got to keep in mind, she's the one that's trying to convince him not to be a smooth operator. Not to be like out there playing with hearts all over the world, because you can't just act carefree without consequence. Because every time maybe you put your penis inside of a person, maybe there's a liability that gets created with that. Maybe these people can collaborate and learn more about you. Shit, there are literally Reddit threads right now for groupies who fucked the same celebrity. Like, that's where we at, okay?
Oh, the Eskimo Brothers.
I don't even know what you're talking about there. But
Eskimo brother is somebody, like, if me and you smash the same girl, we're Eskimo brothers. So, like, they're basically Eskimo sisters.
I'm going to keep all of my mouth shut and not say anything in my head right now. What I'm saying is Frankie's out here clearly whining about some shit when shit did not go his way. Let's not go there. Let's not go there, please.
We're not.
I'm silencing the crowd, too. We're not going there. But basically, you have this guy that is out there playing game on a bunch of women. You know the tricks as if they're your invention. It wasn't your intention, Frankie, to fall in the trap you made. And she's pointing out how, well, buddy, you're not that original. And look at that. These girls ran game on you, son. And then all of a sudden, Frankie, maybe he's falling in love all over. Maybe Frankie can't handle the fact that while he's smooth operating, the next girlies are smooth operating too. Maybe Frankie don't like the fact that if she's down for the streets, she's down for the streets, right? That means you don't get no claim on her. And all the things that come with the shit. I'm just trying to put it in context here for the people of the today era, because it's a little more classily described. But meanwhile, she's doing this all with this, like, sharp pen of, I fucking told you so, son. Why? Go back a song ago when I'm telling you to, like, not fucking run away from love and shit. Anyway, so, yo, where's the laughter? You spat in their faces, Frankie. You treated them like shit. Oh, look at that. All your jokes wasn't funny. Oh, look at that. All your games that you ran. It turns out, you know that. It sounds pretty good, actually. Sonically, oh, boy, is it not my vibe. I feel like it's a bit of a sleeper, to be honest. But from the storytelling perspective, I am really fucking, like, interested in how she flipped the entire concept of the smooth operator into basically being so trash at it that now she's coming back to her. Because you got to keep in mind, this is like her side of a conversation. So he's gone out there, left this girl, done all the deeds, and then he's coming back and whining to her face about other women. Bro, you need a homie. You can't be doing that.
That's some trash behavior.
Trash behavior, broski. That's amateur hour. Amateur hour. Don't you realize they really, really did care? Yeah, they did care that you stuck your dick in them. The party's over. Yeah, they're not letting you do it no more. Now you discover it's your turn to cry. Turns out you're not that special. There's next dicks out there. And you don't realize, ooh, it's the toughest thing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, it sucks. We all fly too close to the sun. Our little Icarus wings make us fly down into the ocean and shit. Anyway, yeah, we can quote my lyrics all the time. We can do it like that. I'm fine with that. Anyway, we ended off with "It's Your First Affair." And then we find out Sade is actually like boss here. Like she's like, oh, you don't even know how to do this. I done been doing this. You weakling. Conceptually, 5-on-5. I don't know that I really enjoy the music as much. It's as well made as the other stuff, but it's slow and it's not 100% my cup of tea. The way she sings it packs all the emotion, and I'm trying to give all the due diligences. Like, the composition's great. They create the groove. I'm way more into the concept. So, Chris. Chris is sitting here stunned in this moment, not knowing how to respond, apparently.
Bro! Okay, Brody caught an L. That's it. Just eat your L, fam. You fucked up. You fucked up. Just eat your L and take the time you need to cry. That's it. It was it's pretty straightforward, bro. Like, I ain't got much more to dissect.
So, Lindell, you're correct. It is subjective. It could be like you, a rapper, discovering how hard it is to rap in a city when only 3 people come to your show. It could be you, a guy, on the more literal context. It's totally fair. I think all of my ranting would apply equally, regardless of context. Anyway, I get slapped in the face by life, like, every week. Okay, like, I get kicked in the nuts by life, like, every week. You got to learn how to get the fuck up and not be, like, a whiner about it, because there's no money in whining. Unless you're, like, a tea person on YouTube and you found a way to monetize it, in which case, do you. But otherwise, there's not a lot of money in whining. I mean, I'm literally whining to you guys on camera, but we found a way to monetize this. Lindell's paying me to whine on camera. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. Chris clearly doesn't want to comment on this one.
There's nothing to comment from me. He got caught cheating. He's dealing with issues. And she proves that, like, you know, she was just trying to be a really good friend and, like, be like, yo, you could do better. And if you hang on and you were, like, really confident and you were, like, stuck in the journey, you could, like, this could actually be working out and you could, like, actually succeed. There are, like, you know, other parts where I'm kind of like, when she was like, it's your turn to cry, for me, I'm like, I get like a double, like a double entendre type thing. Like, I feel like she's like telling him, like, now you get to cry because you've been making your girl cry or you've been making me cry. So it's like your punishment type shit. But then, like, there's another part of me that's kind of like, yo, if you can't deal with the shit that's happening at home and you're like trying to find like an outlet and shit and then you get caught, fuck up, and everything breaks, it's like, yo, here's your moment to finally break down. Like, maybe you can't actually break down at home. Maybe you can't be sad. Maybe you're not allowed to fucking have like emotions or some shit. So like, that's kind of how I took that. That's really one of like the powerful lines in the song that I took. The rest of it, Brody caught an L, dude. That's it. Just like eat your L and move on.
All right.
It's a 4-on-5.
I'm not going to comment on any of this. I don't see. Anyway, when am I going to make a living?
Right. Your online business?
Yeah, we are. And we're using Wix. What up? BehindThatSuit.com/shop. And you can buy some pickle shit. How's it going, Chris? How do you feel about when am I going to make a living?
So I like this one. It had a more of like the uppier, boppier side to it. It didn't so much feel like it was part of this whole like love story. I felt like this was like a little bit of like a break from the emotional roller coaster we're on. And then like, we're just kind of trying to be happy, trying to like find some sort of like success, some sort of like happiness in our lives. But I guess like it could also play as like, now that Brody took an L and like his life's falling apart and like Shorty's all like fucking crying and the life's all broken. It's like everybody's just kind of in this pensive state of like, when am I ever going to just make it? Like, when am I ever just going to be happy? When am I going to be successful? And, you know, just it kind of gave me that feeling. This could also apply to like, you know, rappers and music and being in like the scene and stuff and like just thinking to yourself like, yo, I'm putting in all this work, I'm like trying to be better, I'm trying to put in this effort, and like, when is it that like my chance is gonna come and like finally, you know, ascend to that next level. But I also like how in the chorus she's like, we're hungry but we won't give in, hungry but we won't give in, as if like you could take like shortcuts, you could give in to like your vices, you could give in to like temptation, but if you do stay focused on like the path you're trying to achieve, then you will get to that destination, right? So I do like how she's like reinforcing that there. Even with like verse 3, oh, there's no end to what you can do, they'll waste your body and soul if you allow them to. Oh, starting to believe in yourself, put the blame on no one else. Like, yeah, like take accountability for the shit you're doing, make sure you believe that you could actually do what you got to do, and like, you are, for like us rappers, we are the best. We're gonna act like, show that we are, perform that we are, act like we are the best, humbly and respectfully, in my opinion, of course. But like, this can apply to everything else too. Like, when you walk around with a sense of courage and bravado, you're just like, you know, you give off that aura, you give off that like, I can do this, and it does help change your life, it does help like get you to that next level. But you want to do it, you know, again, humbly, respectfully, organically, and maybe not take the shortcuts. I know we're all hungry, I know we're all trying to find that, but like, put in the work, do your 10,000 hours and more, and you'll achieve that success, whatever it is to you. And I think it's cool. Like, I think it really does drive it home. Again, I do think it's like, we've been getting a lot of emotions, we've been getting a lot of like ups and downs in the hearts. So like, let's take a moment, let's just kind of disconnect from reality. Let's go like think about something else, and then we'll come back. Kind of how I took it. It's a 4.3/5.
I feel like this one is a little bit like, okay, it's not fully a love album. It really is about your passions. And it's because of this song, Lindell's like, it could be about passions the whole way through. Because, yeah, this one has, like, the feel of just stay true to yourself and you're going to make it and all that stuff. But Fair, I guess. I don't know. That message is cool. Like, at, like on one level, it's only cool if you understand how to implement it. Like, superficially, it's a pointless message because most people don't interpret it right. And that's how you end up with a whole scene of wanky whiners who believe in themselves, sort of, because they, like, I guess maybe they don't get the full message. Like, to start believing in yourself, put the blame on no one else. Maybe they missed that part, because I guess they don't usually do that. Like, I was less into this song. I was super into the love story, and I feel like, okay, how are we going to hustle and achieve our greatness and, like, not give in to the life? But then life got mad bleak, man. Since 2008, it's been complicated. Motherfuckers got to hustle and shit. So, I don't know. I'm sick and tired of scratching a living, too. I'm sick and tired of all that shit, too. But, like, these kind of songs don't fully resonate with me because it's, like, hungry, but we're going to win, I guess, maybe. Hungry, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just where I'm at in life, and, like, I'm missing the point, or I think it's more the point just isn't hitting me. Like, I done believed in myself. I done did all this shit. It's still fucking miserable. We're not going to stop, I guess, but I'm not relating to this, like, anthemic feel of it. I'm not like, yeah, this is cool. And it's like, nah, how are we actually going to win? And I start, like, looking at the game a little different. Like, I made more money selling pickle-related shit than I did fucking selling emotions. So, you know, like, sometimes you start to look at life differently when you realize how much of this is an industry and whatever. And so if we are talking about passion, like, if you want to be a hobbyist, cool. But the second you start talking about making a living, like, well, it's when you treat it like a business and do all the business stuff. So I'm too like that for it to, like, fully be a song I vibe with. If we start talking about the love version of it, because it kind of doubles as a love song. It's like, yeah, I guess if you take your shit, you know, hungry, I won't give in. I won't be like Frankie last time. I'll be smarter. I'll be better. But genuinely, it feels like it throws off the album. Like, it's a crazy run. And then you get to this part and it doesn't have the same depth and emotion to me. It feels like the label pushed for some shit and this is what we got. Or, like, we needed a song like this. But, man, we're hungry for a life we can't afford. There's no end to what you can do if you give yourself a chance to prove. Like, I guess be humble, stay within your means, you know, stay focused on your shit. Like, it's nice, but, like, it just feels like it lacks the same depth and power that I was just hearing from, like, the message. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. It's how it went, but it's what it is. Anyway, I gave it, like, a 4. I did not enjoy this one as much. What did you think?
I already explained what I think.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. Cherry pie. Bro, this song is 6 minutes and, like, 20 seconds and change or whatever. That's a long song. What do you think about it, Chris?
I think it's nice. I mean, I like how we're getting, like, she's kind of upset. She's now, like, coming to terms with what happened with the situation, the breakup, the cheating, all that.
Or your fan base turning on you and calling you a sellout, because now we have to add that element in because the album forcefully contrived this extra element into the story. Anyway,
I met you, boy, you were as sweet as cherry pie. The smile in your eye. Wild as friend.
But when I met you, crowd, at the Paul Wall show, you were so lovely. And then, you know, maybe the next crowd isn't the same. Mm-hmm. Metaphors, bitch.
There we go. What I really liked about this is the energy in the song, is the determination to really wanting to figure out, like, why he treated her that way. And, like, what was it about her, or, like, what was it about the situation that, like, could have been improved or could have been at least fixed. I feel like it does still continue carrying the story. It does give this aspect of, like, the other side. We've kind of been following the smooth operator as much as she's been narrating the story. We've been following his problems and, like, his whole, like, timeline. So I did like how we switched into her timeline now. And now that I'm looking back at it, it kind of feels like the rest of the project is, like, her perspective of the situation more than just writing, like, what she sees kind of his perspective is. It was cool.
That's why I was saying all that shit. The whole album's been her perspective. Commenting on his doofusness.
Right. I meant more like the first part was like about him, and now this part and the rest of the album is about like the female side. Anyway, it's fine.
How is this about her in that regard? You gave me your soul for at least a day. Listen, boy, there was a time when I wanted to stay.
Yeah, this is her side. Like, she was telling him, like, not to cheat. And then she was telling him he can cry. And then she was calling him a smooth operator. And that's, like, we're getting the story from his, like, her narrating his timeline and, like, what his character is. And then now she's like, you did this to me. You made me feel bad. You broke my heart.
Bro, there was totally elements of that the whole way through. Like, I'm going to argue and be like, oh, fair. You put your dick in me and made me dance on my inside is equal to I'm stronger now. I loved you then.
Fair. But it's aight. Like, it's aight. It was a 4-on-5 to me. It kind of just really came and went, even though it was like 6 minutes. I zoned out at like one point because it was just very long.
But it was a lot of... Gotta find out what I meant to you. You're the one who broke my heart in two. And then she would like do a lot of repeating the you broke my heart with the boo-doo-doos, and repetition was heavy on this song. I feel like it would do really well live, and my lack of enthusiasm is not fully projecting the quality of the song, but it was not, again, my jam. Also, I feel like I'm throwing off because of the last track, and now we're back in the love story, and I am being a little ridiculous with it, but it I also don't think I'm wrong. I think album placement really does a lot to create a classic, and this would throw me off every time I listen to the project. And like, it makes this song less impactful, whereas if the last song just didn't exist and we moved into this following like Frankie's First Affair, like, yo, wouldn't this just be like way slapping harder? Because now it just makes sense. Now it's like, okay, she's like, well, now that I've thought about it, and I'm like, where's my value in this? You're chasing all this shit, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, you claim you're going to come change and do all this shit, but no matter what happens, something else is going to pop up, something else. What did I even mean to you? And all that shit. So it's like, I'm less enthusiastic because the album made me less enthusiastic, and I think that's part of the review. And if we're being honest, that's how I feel. If you guys disagree, you can hate me in the comments. I love the engagement. People stop doing it the more I'm like, fucking make fun of me. They used to like make fun of me when they thought I cared more. It's a shame, you know. But there was a I don't know, you gave me your soul for a day, like, you know, we had our moment, our little steamy session, but now I don't need you to validate me like that. I don't need you in this way. Your games ain't working. I am now being added into this list of people holding you accountable. It is literally the perfect follow-up, I think, to the Frankie's Affair in terms of a song. I get why it's structured the way it is, in terms of just, you almost feel her eating ice cream and sitting there in PJs, like blowing tissues, writing this shit out, and like really going through it. But I had a lot of trouble focusing on the song once it came into it. I do like the idea of her being like, you were the one, you were like, you meant this much to me, and then you broke my heart. Like, why the fuck did this happen? I think it's a super valid song. I think the whole fucking everything about it is beautiful. I just sonically, I'm not riding the wave anymore. I'm like, I'm not as into it. So I'm going to give it like a 4-ish because I know it's a really good song. I do believe the live experience would be stupid good to see. You could do so much to play with it. But yeah, it's like I'm forcing myself to get back into the story, which now that we've gone through this process and we talk about Sally and shit, I'm more back in the story. But that's a big knock on the structuring and the segmenting and why you really maybe need to care about that more in life. But is Sally the whore or side chick? Is that what's happening here? Is this so like
the way that it kind of plays out? Like, if we go to where is it? Verse 4, Vince came up from the country, couldn't even find himself a room, thinking about his babies, so they're further away from the moon, whatever. So it does feel like Sally is somebody like prostitute, local corner chick, you know,
the person for the streets. Gonna...
Yeah,
she does the dirty work.
I also did
Thirsty World, One Angry like, Day in New York.
I did also interpret it as like the side chick and kind of giving me this feeling of like, yo, when shit's like, again, happening at home and you need like an escape, like you go and make bad decisions. I'm not saying this is a good one, but
it's a cool follow up because like from conceptually speaking, there is the other people in the story that, you know.
Right. But it could also, like, I mean, imagine, like, people who travel for, like, shows and shit, right? Like, if you're traveling and you're not with your family and stuff, I do understand, like, that lonely aspect. Like, you just want to be held. You just want to feel, like, loved or whatever it is. But that does also come with, like, insecurity and shit.
Personally gone to a point where, like, I want to be held like that from some random person. I'm just not at that place. You know, it's actually, like, the opposite. Like, I could maybe do some things.
I mean, I don't.
But we're talking about you hold this girl, hold me. Like, you get this.
Well, you're going to
rob me or some shit. I'm not getting robbed like that. I don't trust people like that. That's a high level of trust, Chris.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it could be one of two. It's more just the aspect of, like, you. Like she said, he doesn't want to be alone. For me, I'd be like, this is more like the side chick. This is like, you're like out and about or whatever, and like you end up at Shorty's place, and she like understands like what you're dealing with in terms of like your fucking real life and shit, and she's like holding you down.
Hold on. And is Sally the female Captain Save-A-Ho?
I mean, Captain Save-A-Ho is not really like the side chick. He's the one who goes in and like saves the hoes and turns.
Yeah, but we're talking about, like, saving the man hoes.
Nah, but I don't think she's really saving him. She's just there to release his anger, tension, and everything. So they're like smashing, and he's like bitching about his wife and family and shit to her.
It's like a massage with a happy ending.
She's homegirl. She's the homegirl he gets to slap. He gets to smash. That's really what it is. Like, she's just the homegirl that he talks to, and she's like, you know,
and so this, like,
is probably what, whatever.
Simultaneously, Sade is coming through with the salt, right? So put your hand, because, you know, the way she sings it is like, it's vicious, right? Like, so put your hands together for Sally. Like, it's got like this, like, an edge to it. And so, like, she's almost, Natasha, like,
I know she's enabling him. I agree with you.
She's like saying salute to these hoes that create the other side of this equation. Almost like, I guess she's out there doing the dirty work. Since we don't fuck them enough, she's fucking them. Since it's so terrible. You know, it's like you can almost hear
all the things
Buddy said as why he's smashing over there. And she's just kind of compiling it into this chorus of pure shade that is being thrown at Sally, who's representing all these women who be playing these roles and shit. Like, it is what it is in terms of a message. But it's also like, if we're talking about the completion of the story, it's fair. Like, you got to consider it. There is all these women that are comfortable playing this shit. Like, there's this one TikTok I saw, and I'm pretty sure it was a joke, but, like, this chick shows up, like, how are you still fucking my man? And she's like, he gives me $2,000 a week. I'm going to keep fucking your man as long as he keeps giving me $2,000 a week. That girl gave zero fucks about a family. She said $8,000 a month. What?
But that seems, out of that here. Seems fuck your family. Like, you know, so there are, like, just some people who are okay with just, like,
she's
just
the
being
one.
That person in your life without having to pay them.
But like,
that seems more like transactional.
You know, Captain Save-A-Ho is an enabler, though. Because Captain Save-A-Ho be deliberately looking for, like, troubled chicks and wants to save the hoe to get the neck and then move the fuck on when the hoe don't want to be saved. So don't save her. She don't want to be saved. I don't often agree with J. Cole, but you got a point one time.
I don't know, man. I think it depends on, like, what his, like, intentions are. Because sometimes, like, Captain Save-A-Ho could save a hoe, and then she ends up turning into, like, no longer a hoe. Just because he's, like, that guy.
When? Show me an example in real life, please.
Yeah, let me just, hold on. Let me just pull
show up me an example database. In real life when they're not rich. Please.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Enabling ass shit. Captain's anyway. Like, look, I think this song is super valid and I really like it. I don't want my tone to be like I'm being dismissive or anything, because I know how I sound. Right. I'm a little aware of it, but it's an interesting song and it really hit me when I clicked, like, wow, like Sade be on some, like, really good concept writing. Like, this fits the album perfectly. If we're past the point of the breakup and she's now just considered, like, why this happened, right? Which is what happened on the previous song. The perfect follow-up is to come to the conclusion. Like, I'll never forget this moment. I was living on Saint-Jacques and Elmhurst, across from Goldie's. If you know, you know. So my balcony's on the ground level, not balcony, my window in my bedroom. the window's open, and I look out the window, and I can see the fucking corner. As a fight be breaking out, as two ladies is beating the shit out of each other over some guy who fucked both of them. For the life of me, I'm always perplexed how, like, the dude was never included in the conversation. It was just, like, these two girls beating the shit out of each other and shit. And I don't know. I feel like it is these extra people that need to be taken into consideration. And it is an important part of it. It does take at least three to entanglement. There's no Chris Rock slap without that young August man.
I think his name's August. I don't remember his name. Like, dudes find out the girls, like, cheated on them and shit, and they be fucking smacking each other, and nobody's really talking to her. They're just, like, big manning it out.
Yo, at the last show I was at Belmont, not the one I performed at the night before, it was them girls that was ready to fight. A fight nearly broke out, and I'm, like, next to these two girls as they coming in, and I'm like, is this really happening? I'm the in-between two girls fight moment.
Go.
And it did not turn into a fight, thankfully. I did not end up getting scratched or some shit, but, like, yo, it was really like that sometimes. I don't know where I'm going with this anymore. I got mad distracted. Sally be doing the work.
Sally's a four.
It's pretty good, though. I like the groove, the energy. I'm giving it a 4.5. I think what she does with the melody, the way she sings it, the overall tone of it, it sounds distinctly different. And it almost has this seductive quality. Like, you can almost picture a smoky room and what Sally looks like as you're listening to the song, just based off of the energy. So it's really cool. Anyway, I'll be your friend, Chris. Tweet ChrisChrome93. Bro, I mean, I'm not even lying to y'all watching this. These are long songs of a genre of music that is not my favorite. I'm doing my best. I just need you to know if my enthusiasm has not what it was. It's kind of like I busted and I'm trying to go for round three. And we just did it now, okay? I'm just trying to be real with y'all. I really fuck with this project, though. I literally made
that reference recently.
I really just, like... I'm just being real with y'all, but I do appreciate where she's coming from the story on this, because, yo, this is when I realized Sade is the extra real, like, that real real, and it annoyed me that that corporate plant song was there, because, like, if you've ever been down this rabbit hole of life, you don't really stop talking to those people.
Like, nope.
You should, but that shit's drugs, and, like,
and we're maybe all it at does, it.
Like, it really may end at a point where... You hit the maturity where you really are just good friends and former lovers and shit. And I feel like that's where, like, she's really at with this one. Like, I'll be your friend to the end of time. I'm here to make you smile. I still care about you. I still love you. But, yo, we've been there, done that. And now I'm just over here in your life while you go do whatever you do, like, smooth operator.
You know what's crazy? It's like how modern this project is, because I feel like people don't take the time to, like, build brick by brick anymore, and you end up living this type of life more frequently. You meet each other, you lust each other, you smash. Because you smashed more than once, you're kind of like, now, oh, I guess we're gonna, you know, try this out. Shit starts unfolding, things break, and then you're like, well, I just spent XX time with you, and now I can't really just stop doing what I'm fucking doing. So, like, I'll see you around, and I'm going to check in because you now play a role in my life. And it's crazy to think that this project was, what, 1984? Like, and this is still essentially relevant today in terms of how, like, dating and relationships are.
So I don't think my parents had met yet, and I was possibly not conceived while it was hot, but it is possible that a Sade album was playing and this song came on and my parents were smashing to conceive me. Anyway, keep going.
No, that was really just my whole point. Like, I said all that and I blanked because I looked at the chat.
But basically, yeah. This song to me feels like it really moves the album along. It's got a calmer energy because... I think that some of the more passionate parts of this story have taken place. And if we're trying to tell a tale of humanity and looking at how it works as you go through these diamond life kind of affairs, it really does end on a calmer note where, like, you gotta sometimes distance yourself. Like, I like the fact that she's still willing to be this person and help them in ways. Like, it's not like your relationships are dead. It's just now you're not fucking like that. Now it's more mature. Now it's like you're aware of all these things, and I can just be here to be somebody in your life, make you smile and shit. Maybe like I'm missing the point. And in some case, she's like loving dude, but this really feels like that post situation where you can now talk to this person. Now's when you can tell her about them people you fucking, because you're now at that place, because y'all have done that, like whatever time has passed, you like heal, because you'll be good people. But she knows she wants something different, and she'll be there for you forever and love you forever, but it's never gonna be that. She either wants more or deserves more, whatever the right word is, because deserve is a big word. But like end of the day, I just think it fits really well. And without this song, I feel like it would be more Hollywood. But this song makes me go, nah, she been there, done that. Like, it's really like that, actually. Because, yo, if any of the girls I've dated in the past, with the exception of, like, one or two, really hit me today, it would be, like, hard to be like, nah, I'm not going to help you. Like, how could I not? Like, these are people that, you know, mean something at some point in your life, you know? Anyway, the song is a little lengthy, and I'm already a little disinterested, but it fits really well, and I think it's like another 4 on 5, a 4 point something. It's good.
I do feel like there's this aspect of like maybe this is like the last shot of like everything.
Well, okay, how? Where do you see this is the last shot of everything?
Well, I'm saying like the last shot of like making things work in terms of even just like a friendship. Like, she's accepted that she'll be your friend. She's going to like make that effort to do that. Maybe it's because I am looking at like the next song and kind of like maybe connecting them together in a way, well, which I'll get to on the next one.
Do that on the next song when we've got all that context for your point to make sense.
It's a 4.3 on 5. Go on. Why can't we just live together, Holden? Why can't we just do that?
You drink way too many energy drinks. I don't understand the placement of this song on this album a lot. Like, I got like real confused here. So we were in this cool moment where she brought us back into this story, you know, where like we've hit the friend zone point of shit, conclusiveness almost in the relationship. And then tell me why we can't live together. I'm like, okay, fair. Maybe we're still in this relationship shit. But then it's like, no more war, just a little peace. All we want is some peace in this world. Okay, maybe turbulent relationship shit. Like, maybe on some, like, Pat Benatar loves a battlefield shit. Like, okay. But then it's like, you're still my brother. I said, no matter what color. And I'm like, what's going on here? Why is this here? What is, like, I'm not, like, mad at the, like, I guess the world, the colorblindedness message of the 80s and shit. Like, I get it. But, like, this feels more contrived than the other song. Like, it feels like this should be attached to, like, We Are the World charity campaign or some shit like that. And I don't understand. Like, is that what, or is it, like, if we're going to get a little abstract, like, once we're done with our fucking, we must work together to, like, combat global issues. I guess that's, like, a message for celebrities and shit. I was so baffled. Like, the sound is really different. It doesn't fully sonically feel like it fits this album. It feels very standout. I like what it sounds like. I'm just one of them people that think about things. And I don't know when we moved into, like, 80s telethon, but that's what it feels like we at now. We got a telethon, and we trying to raise money for, like, kids around the world or something.
I mean, I think it's cool. The only, like, abstract thinking I could think of is, like, when how my brain connected the two last ones. It's like, y'all couldn't even be friends. So now it's, like, that final, like, why can't we just live together in peace? Like, why is it that we went through this whole turbulent situation, this whole relationship, and we're still like not happy even after we've ended it and like been friends and all this stuff? And then you're right. You listen to the song and I'm like, this is not what I thought it was. And it just kind of seems a little bit out of place.
But we are the world.
I don't know. I guess it's a good message to end on. Like, if you take the, if you think of it, like, look, this is how people act, whether it's like male or a female, you know, people just act in this way. These are relationships we go through. You know, there's the ups and downs and the experiences. And then you like, question, like, why can't we just like live together in peace?
It literally brings ethnicity into this shit, broski. Like, it literally is on some.
Yeah.
We are the world shit. Why can't we just get along?
Reaching into dimensions here. Anyway, I gave it a 3.7 on 5.
Like, I don't even see how this shit's a double entendre for the album.
I'm reaching in dimensions, bro. No, I gave it a 3.7 on 5. I felt it kind of like.
Okay, and then I don't want to live together with everyone. I'm comfortable not living with most people, to be honest with you. I mean, there is this bizarre notion that our society's moved away from communal living and the way that, like, in certain ethnicities and cultures, that multi-generations of a family will live in a single home. And my culture is all about that. Let's have a lot of space and have nobody around. So, like, maybe there's a bigger socioeconomic conversation to be had about that. But this is... Weren't we just in the love song? Anyway, I'm being a bit of a shit. I know it. Y'all can say whatever.
I'm kind of happy that it's at the end, to be fair. Like,
it's just what it is.
I don't have to play this if I'm going to listen to that project. Like, I'll just stop.
It really feels like this shit should have just been an EP with the 6 tracks or 7 songs that, like, really fill it. And then the other 2 could have been the deluxe edition. And then that would have been really hard. Anyway. Love Affair with Life is there, and I kept hearing it when I went through the playlist because I kept forgetting to stop it. So we're going to watch this live version of Love Affair with Life from Munich in 1984 together. It's about the love affair with life.
Performance was great. I think she has, like, really great power in her voice. The audio kind of sounds, like, off, but that's just probably because it's, like, a YouTube video through this, through that. It was good. I didn't really catch a lot of the lyrics. It's okay. It's good. 405.
Like, I'm bored. I think if this fits the album more than the fucking We Are the World song, like, lyrically, you know, like, it's kind of like looking a little bit at somebody else in a musical sphere or being out there, you know, you play to empty eyes and crowded bars. I can't believe you've come this far. You got nowhere. What is this left of me? Every time he plays your first kiss. So, like, this is an interesting one because it has that passionate affair feel to it. But it also, like, mixes that with, like, the music thing. And I feel like had this one been right there in the middle of the project, it would have really fit super well. Just... because I'm not a pastime. I'm not your pastime. Don't play around with me. That's a powerful little hook that she's throwing in there. Some words that could be, like, connected with that I feel fit the message of the overall project. And it totally makes sense how this gets added to it later on. Because this one makes sense. It fits. It sounds like it belongs. All of that other stuff. So I liked it a lot. I gave it, like, a 4.5. I feel like it was more enjoyable than others. And then Lindell... would like us to watch a thing, so we're gonna watch that after, so we'll get to the wrapping up of the album review. So Chris, tell us what you feel about the album as a whole.
As a whole, I gave the album a 4 on 5. I think it's cool. It was a very smooth, nice project to listen to. It wasn't, like, super heavy from that era. I like a lot of the sounds. I like the live instruments. I like the storytelling. I do agree we could have chopped out the 2 songs and made it a 7-track something. Just take the middle song out and let the story flow and then give us your 2, like, label-needed songs or whatever. But besides that, I mean, it's cool. Smooth Operator is probably, like, just one of my really favorite songs on the project. Just overall, it has a nice vibe to it. I like how she sings, like, the Smooth Operator part. Like, it's just really kind of a bop. And I think I will be your friend as well. I like the chorus and I will be your friend. That just, I don't know, the way that it kind of sways back and forth is really, really cool. But overall, it's an easy project. Y'all should check it out. And yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this album conceptually. Like sonically, like I've said a bunch of times, this is not really what I go to. But now if I'm trying to impress a girl, I'll be like on my Sade vibes because I see you. People that do things different than me. I think this album really connects an interesting story, offering a great perspective on what it's like to be caught up with that smooth operator character, and then especially finding out that they're trash at it. I really enjoyed the way that the plot developed. It felt very movie-esque, like she'd watched a lot of the great romances and wanted to tell her own version of it based on what I feel to be is her experience. And I think it's a really great collection of songs that does the entire theme justice, and it's really cool. That's all I gotta say about that. So thank y'all. I mean, I said a lot more, so if you just came to this part, go watch the rest of the review. But like, appreciate all y'all for watching, those of you who rode with us on the live at twitch.tv/behindthatsuit. That's super cool of y'all. You can hear all the unedited, all the music there. We cut it up for the YouTube video. Feel free to leave likes, comments, all that good stuff. If you mess with what we do and want to be like Lindell, you can go to patreon.com/behindthatsuit and show love over there. If you want to cop that pickle merch, it's like behindthatsuit.com/store/shop. I should know that better, but either way, go to behindthatsuit.com and click on the store thing. And, yeah, we totally appreciate you a whole bunch. On that note, everyone, live long and prosper, everybody.